Hello, my friends. Michael Youssef here, and I just wanted to thank you for connecting with Leading the Way. Our entire team is wholly committed to passionately proclaiming uncompromising truth of God's Word, and it cannot be done without you. Learn more about what God has charged us to do around the world by clicking around ltw.org. That's ltw.org. Thank you, and may God richly bless you as you seek to serve Him. By nature, my family would tell you, my close friends would tell you, that by nature, I'm not a nostalgic person. I don't dwell on the past. I've always, since I was a boy, always looked forward, always strived ahead, and I'm not big on kind of umming and ahhing about the past. But nonetheless, as I read the Scripture, it is so clear that God, over and over and over again, asked His people to set up memorials in order to remember His faithfulness of the past. These memorials are not for people. These memorials are not for us. But they are memorials to the faithfulness of God. I read how in the Scripture, God warned them again and again and again and again. Don't forget. Don't forget. Don't forget. Do you think God, our Maker, knew a little bit about our fickle memory? And in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, in order to establish the memorial that is visible, other than what's in the Word of God, but a visible memorial of the supernatural intervention of Him coming from heaven, dying on a cross, and Him making a covenant with us, He established the Lord's table. A reminder that Jesus, once and for all, defeated death, defeated sin, and defeated shame. Now, I want you to turn with me, please, now to 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen, and he named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far has the Lord helped us." So the Philistines were subdued and did not invade Israel territory again. You see, growing up in a culture that is hostile to the Christian faith, it is not a surprise for my mother on the new year to pray that prayer, to repeat those words. And my mother was not a great theologian, but in her simple faith, she would go on from this verse to say, "But He who brought us safe thus far will keep us safe in the future until He takes us all the way home." Now, as a boy, I did not know. I didn't look the Scripture up. I thought that was part of the Bible. But that was the verse she added, expressing her own faith, her own confidence, that the very God who brought us to this point is going to take us all the way home safely. Beloved, listen. In our individual lives, in marriage, in relationships, in family, in our corporate life as a church, we get into deep trouble when we forget the exhortation of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6:12, namely that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and the authorities and the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. You do not need me to tell you that we are facing an increasingly hostile culture. It seems that the movies and the television and the academia and magazines and everything around us, the professors in schools, all seem to be conspiring in order to assault the hearts and the minds and the souls of believers. And that is why we must constantly remind ourselves that people are not our enemies, but the devil is. Our fight is not against flesh and blood, but is against the spiritual forces. And that is why we need to fight these battles with weapons of faith and obedience and righteousness. Amen belongs here. Now, to understand Samuel, what he did here, is I need to put this text in its context. Because I have seen with those eyes, and I've read in the history, individuals go high wire when they take a text out of its context. Churches literally lose their way when they take a text and run with it. Whole denominations have disappeared because they built their faith and their churches on a text that's out of its context. So that is why I'm going to put it in the context. Are you ready? I'm going to give you a fast history lesson. If you blink, you're going to miss it. In the book of Judges, we read that God's people kept on wandering away from God again and again and again. Every year I go through the Bible, when I come to that section, I always look up to heaven and say, God, what an incredibly patient God you are. You keep putting up with these people. The voice of the Holy Spirit says, Michael, I'm being patient with you. Thank God for that. Oh, but remember this. In all of their wanderings, they've never ceased to be Jews. They never ceased to be the people of God. They never ceased to keep the rituals and the religious rituals of Judaism. They never ceased to pay homage to Yahweh. It's just they did this one day, and then the rest of the time, they paid homage to Baal and their favorite idols. They never ceased to be called the people of God, but their hearts, their lives, their time, and their money always wandering away to their favorite idols. And God often would let them go their way. He had not forced them to stay. He would let them go, and He will leave them to the consequences of their decision of departing from God, compromising the Word of God, and He will let them go. And then they suffer, and they come back weeping blood, crying out to God, calling on God, and God hears their prayers, and then He answers their prayers, and He gives them a deliverer who would deliver them out of their misery. Again and again and again and again, the cycle of defection and repentance went on for 450 years. What a great God we have. What a patient God we have. What a gracious God we have. Finally, God raised Samuel, who was the last of the judges and the first of the prophets. And in 1 Samuel chapter 4, Israel once again had fallen away from God. People's heart turned away from Yahweh to their favorite idols. I don't know what your favorite idol is, but you know it. This time, the Philistines waged a bloody war on the Israelites on the plain of Aphek. 4,000 of the great warriors of Israel lost their lives. The Israelites thought that if they call upon their secret weapon, they can have victory. You know what that secret weapon was? The Ark of the Covenant. They thought, because it represents the presence of God. So they said, if we take the Ark of the Covenant with us into the battlefield, then we will have victory. You see, that's called knowing the form of religion, but denying its power. They thought the secret is in the box itself. And so they took the ark with them into the battlefield, but they did not win the battle. It doesn't work that way. Beloved, listen to me. Formality and outward devotion and religiosity never wins a spiritual battle. Wearing or even carrying a Bible is not going to win a spiritual battle. But a changed heart, a transformed heart, a heart that is totally dedicated, devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ will help you win the battle every time. Even though the ark was with them, the Philistines won over them, won the battle. And at this time, 30,000 Israelites lost their lives. Not only that, but the Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant and took it over. Eventually, they returned it back. I'm not going to get into the details, but they came back to Israel. By that time, we get to 1 Samuel chapter 7. The Ark of the Covenant has been in Israel now, back from the land of Philistine, for 20 years. But God still not blessing His people. God still not giving them victory. God still withholding His hand of blessings. Why? Because their hearts were not right with God. Beloved, we can do all of the religious rituals 24/7. You can go to confession every hour on the hour, like Martin Luther did before he was converted, until the abbot got tired of him. Every hour on the hour, he go for confession. You can try to appease God in all sorts of ways, but if your heart is not surrendered to God, none of that is going to help you. Hear me right, please. The ark returned, but the blessings did not. In the middle of this despair, God raised this great prophet Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 3, Samuel calls the people to true repentance. Can you say that with me? True repentance. Listen to what he said to them, and listen carefully. If you return to the Lord with all, can you say all? All of your hearts, and rid yourselves of your idols, and commit yourselves to the Lord, and serve him only, then he will deliver you. This is a biblical foundation. This is a foundational verse. Beloved, listen carefully. I want to ask you a question. What hinders answers to your prayers? What is hindering answers to your prayers? Could be because you have a divided heart. Could be because you have one foot in one camp and the other foot in the other camp. It could be because you are keeping the ritual without repentance. Could be because you are a part-time Christian. And Samuel said, with all your hearts. This is very important to individuals. It's very important for couples in marriage. It's very important for family. It's very important for a church. Verses 5 and 6, the Bible said that the people of God held a great prayer meeting in which they destroyed their idols. Oh, they did not just keep them away for safekeeping. They destroyed them. They destroyed them. Not be temporarily put away, not on occasional put aside. They needed to be destroyed. And when Israel's enemy, here's really the thing that really tickles me. I'm telling you, it tickles me because it says, when the Philistines heard that the people of Israel repented, they began to be terrified. The pagans knew that when God's people repent, God is going to do some great things. That God is going to give them victory. And they really began to be terrified when they just heard that they repented. When they heard, they just gave up the idols. And beloved, whatever idol or idols in your life, whatever they may be, they need not to be temporarily put away or occasionally set aside. They are to be destroyed. And so they planned a sneak attack in order to foil them before God answers their prayer. Isn't that amazing? Well, what does Samuel do? He prays to the Lord and he sacrifices a lamb. And he intercedes on behalf of the people. And sure enough, God sends thunder against the Philistines. God sends the spirit of confusion. And they run in utter confusion. The Israelites pursued them and defeated them. Defeated their enemies once and for all. Beloved, listen to me. Listen to me very carefully. When you are facing an impossibility in your life, the first thing you need to do is to genuinely and truthfully turn away from whatever it is that is stealing your affection, whatever idol you're keeping in your life. Most of you know what I'm talking about. That thing that occupies your devotion, that thing that occupies your time, that thing that occupies your thoughts, that thing that consumes your money. All of this brings me to my verse. I may give long introductions. I always get to my verse. Here Samuel sets a landmark memorial so that the Israelites will never forget the intervention of God. Never forget what God did on that day in confusing the enemy. And so he took a stone and he put it between Mizpah and Shin. This is halfway between the two major cities. And he sets that stone. He calls it Ebenezer. Can you say that with me? Thus far, the Lord helped us. Say it with me. Thus far, the Lord has helped us. Believing just like my mother used to add to the scripture and say that the one who helped us to this point is going to help us all the way home and to all of eternity. For us as a church, as we look back on three decades, we can truly say, thus far, the Lord has helped us. If these buildings can speak, oh, what stories they would tell. They will tell of lives that were lost and became found in this place. They would tell of hearts that were broken and became mended in this place. They would tell of relationships that were devastated and became restored in this place. They would tell of heavy souls that hardly was able to walk through the doors, and they walked out of here rejoicing and jumping for joy. They would tell of lives that were floundering, and they found purpose in this place. Up to here, or up to now, the Lord has helped us. Say it with me. Up to now, the Lord has helped us. And if the millions of lives from around the world on KingdomSat and other outlets that we have, if they would say anything, they would say they have been touched by this very hill, from this very hill. They would say, up to here, the Lord has helped us. In fact, I believe with all my heart that when we get to heaven, there will be many, many, many untold souls who would come up to us and said, I have been blessed, I have been saved, I've been transformed, I've been changed because of your faithfulness and the faithfulness of the members of this church. Amen. Amen. Beloved, these are all our Ebenezer stones. They're all the mark of remembrance. They all remind us, thus far, the Lord has helped us. Like the Israelites, we had to work, and we had to serve, we had to pray, we had to trust in God alone, even when others betrayed us and disappointed us. I want to testify to you. I always testify to the glory of God and my shame in many ways, my lack of faith. In every crisis we faced, it was the Lord and the Lord alone who gave us the strength and the grace and the victory. Make no mistake about it. Sin and pride and self-sufficiency will always pull us down to defeat. But confession, repentance, and humility and reliance on the Lord alone will always give us victory. We easily forget the source of our victory. We easily forget to acknowledge God for what He has done. We easily take credit for what only God could have done. We easily forget that thus far the Lord has helped us. And that is why we need a landmark. And that is why we need an Ebenezer stone. Some of you probably are asking, what is an Ebenezer stone? See, most of us associate the term Ebenezer with that miserable character, Ebenezer Scrooge, right? We always think of that and we've got a negative thought about it because A Christmas Carol with Charles Dickens, there's a most negative feeling that comes out when we think the name Ebenezer. But in the Hebrew language, Ebenezer is a beautiful word. I'm going to explain it to you. But I personally think that Dickens, when he was writing this novel, when he was writing this, I believe with all my heart he had the biblical meaning in mind. Because after all, Scrooge saw the past, the present, and the future, and then he became a transformed man. He became a changed man. He became a loving man. He became kind. And the word Ebenezer in the Hebrew comes from two Hebrew words. They're two words that stuck together. Eben and Hazar. Eben means stone, and Hazar means the help. Ebenezer means the stone of help. Did you get that? Okay, don't forget it now. Samuel was not saying, this Ebenezer stone is to remind us that God helped us in some way, to a certain degree. No. Samuel wanted them to always remember and never forget this event. When people repented and prayed, when Samuel sacrificed to the Lord, when the Lord thundered and terrified the Philistines, when God sent help to Israel at a certain moment, at a certain time in history, when He gave Israel victory, that is the greatest remembrance, and He wants them to know that. Come, thou fount of every blessing. I'm sure you probably sang this and came to that verse and about Ebenezer, and you wondered what that means. Here I raise my Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, He to rescue me from danger interposed His precious blood. Beloved, Ebenezer Stone is where you'll remember the faithfulness of God. Ebenezer Stone is where we remember that God answered many a prayer. Ebenezer Stone is where we experience individually an individual revival inside of us, restoration and renewal. Ebenezer Stone is where we rededicate ourselves. Ebenezer Stone is the place we can go to for a new beginning. So let me ask you a question. What is your Ebenezer Stone? What is your Ebenezer Stone? You might feel a tug in your heart right now as I'm speaking, but I don't want this to be an emotional, temporary experience. Please don't let that happen. God might be calling you to raise an Ebenezer Stone in your life. God may be calling you to review your walk with Him now. God may be reminding you of His faithfulness, which you have forgotten long time ago. It is time to say, thus far the Lord helped me. God has been dependable in the past. God is completely can be relied upon in the present. God is totally trustworthy all of the future. For this Ebenezer Stone says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It says that God is not going to bring you all the way thus far, and then He drops you or let you fall. It says that the battle belongs to the Lord, and He gives us the victory. And when Samuel took a knife and he shed the blood of that lamb on the altar of sacrifice, victory took place. Victory over the enemy, victory over the oppressors, victory over the Philistine. And that lamb that Samuel shed the blood of is a foreshadowing of the secret of our victory, namely the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, who hung on that cross and shed His blood for every one of us. And I want you to remember that when Jesus cried on the cross and said, "It is finished," and yielded His life as a sacrifice for sin and death, your victory was purchased then. Did you know that? Your salvation was wrought then. Your triumph over your enemy, Satan, is already received. Your subduing of the flesh became possible. Your victory over death, sin, and the grave became accomplished. Amen. Thus far, the Lord has helped us. Say it again. Thus far, the Lord has helped us. Thus far, the Lord has saved us. And therefore, we know that the one who brought us safe thus far, He will help us tomorrow, and He will help us throughout eternity. He will never forget to help you. Here's the thing you need to remember. He will never, 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 never forget to help us. I want to tell you this story as I conclude. And it's a story I've read a while back, but a true story that every time I read it, it tugs on my heart and rebukes me of my own lack of faith. Gladys Aylward was born in England, 1902. But at the age of 14, when she literally felt the call of God upon her life to dedicate her life to missions, in her 20s, she worked hard at learning the language, and then she applied to go as a missionary with China Inland Mission. But despite of hard work of learning the language, the mission board turned her down. She was determined to obey God alone. And so, whatever few dollars, or pounds really, that she had saved from working as a servant, a domestic, she saved all she could. And in 1932, she traveled alone to Yingqing, China. There she worked hard to improve the living conditions of the people. And that gave her that love that she had for those people, opened doors for her to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and many came to Christ. One day, Gladys saw a woman sitting by the wall there, begging, holding a sick little girl. And the woman offered to sell her daughter to Gladys. And the child desperately needed love and medicine. And so Gladys bought that little girl for 9 British pennies. This little girl was the first of many Chinese children that Gladys adopted. Fast forward 5 years, 1938, the Empire of Japan invaded China. Millions of Chinese lost their lives with that invasion. When the bombing began, Gladys was actually inside the house in that orphanage teaching a Bible study. The bombing knocked her unconscious. And when she came through, she looked over and saw the village was totally devastated. And the Japanese invaders were on their way over the hill to massacre those who have survived. She gathered the 100 children from that orphanage and took them out of the village. They walked for days in narrow mountain trails where the Japanese planes were going overhead. At night, they huddled together under the open sky. After 12 days, they reached the Yellow River. The children were tired, they were scared, they were hungry. Gladys intended to take them across the Yellow River somewhat to safety. But when they got there, there was no boat, no boats at the river. So she cried out in despair. She said, "Lord, what do I do now?" A 13-year-old, that's why I love children, I really do, because God gave them this unique type of innocent faith. I love children. You know that, it's not a secret. This 13-year-old girl said to Gladys, "Miss Gladys, do you remember the story you taught us from the Bible when Moses reached the Red Sea and God helped him cross safely? Why don't we cross the river?" Gladys simply said, "That is because I'm not Moses." But listen to that 13-year-old. She said, "But God, still the same God." This word shocked Gladys, to say the least. And she said to the kids, "Let's pray." And they all got on their knees, 100 kids, and Miss Gladys, and they prayed. And she couldn't pray aloud, actually, but the kids were praying. In privacy of her own thought, she said, "Lord, I'm finished. I can do nothing more. Save us." Then Gladys heard the 13-year-old girl praying this simple prayer. Listen carefully. "Here we are, Lord, just waiting for you to open the Yellow River for us." Moments later, a man approached them along the river bank, and he told Gladys, "The enemies are on their way. You need to move, and you need to move quickly." And Gladys said, "We need to cross the Yellow River, but there are no boats to take us." And the man whistled in a loud sound, and he waved with his hand. And a few moments later, from the other side of the river, a boat came and picked Gladys and her 100 children. Gladys Elwood got all the 100 kids safely because of the faith of a 13-year-old. Don't ever undermine the faith of children. Father, in the name of Jesus, and in the power of that blood that was shed on the cross, we destroy whatever idols that we have placed that took your place in our hearts. Lord God, we're so sorry. And we repent and we ask for your strength and your power that we will keep these idols dead, that we would not go and raise them again. And Father, in the name of Jesus, as we hold our Ebenezer stones, remind us in the days to come of your faithfulness. For I pray this in Jesus' name.